the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network presents Vatican Insider with Joan Lewis. Each week, Joan brings you news from inside the Vatican and the Church around the world, as well as interviews and answers to your questions. Now, here's the host of Vatican Insider, Joan Lewis.
Welcome to Vatican Insider on this Thanksgiving weekend, 2024. With 2 days off this week, Thursday and what is now known as Black Friday, we are asked to finalize TV segments or radio shows by the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. Thus, the following news segment ends with Pope Francis presiding the Wednesday General Audience on November 27th. Now, instead of a guest in the interview segment, I offer a two-pronged special on Thanksgiving. My own thoughts on how I am thankful for God's multitude of blessings in my life, and a very special reflection by Pope Francis on the meaning of Thanksgiving. It was an interesting week on the papal calendar for the number of audiences he granted each day. On several days, there were perhaps 7 or 8 encounters, including private meetings with individuals, and then meetings with and speeches to groups, as you are about to hear. Sunday, November 24th. As the Church celebrated the annual diocesan-level World Youth Day on the Solemnity of Christ the King, Pope Francis witnessed the handover of the World Youth Day cross and the icon of Mary Salus Populi Romani by a delegation of Portuguese youth to young people from South Korea as they prepared to host World Youth Day in Seoul in 2027. In his homily, the Pope called these symbols a sign and invitation for Christians to live out the gospel without becoming discouraged and never ceasing to hope. As the Church's liturgical year comes to a close, he urged the faithful to feel uplifted by the certainty of Christ's eternal kingdom. Young people should take courage from Jesus' faithfulness to God in the midst of trials and public humiliation. Like him, young people, too, sometimes feel accused for following Jesus, and they face pressure to conform to ways that are contrary to the gospel. Do not be afraid of condemnations, said Francis. Have no worries. Sooner or later, their criticism will fall through, their condemnations will prove false, and their superficial values will be revealed for what they are, illusions. Francis assured the faithful that world events have not escaped God's watchful eye, saying, "It's not true that history is written by oppressors and tyrants. Christ, the just and merciful King, will ultimately sit in judgment over each person. He corrects us when we fall, but he never ceases to love us. If we wish, he picks us up so we can continue our journey with joy." At the conclusion of the Mass for the Solemnity of Christ the King, the Holy Father greeted young people present from around the world, in particular the delegation that we mentioned from Portugal, which hosted the 2023 World Youth Day, and the South Korean delegation that will host the 2027 WYD. He noted how these symbols were entrusted by St. John Paul II to youth so they could take them around the world. Also Sunday, at the Angelus, Pope Francis encouraged the faithful to listen to the voice of the King of the universe, who made himself the servant of all, and who brought hope and light into our lives. Jesus is a king because he is a witness. He is the one who speaks the truth. The royal power of Jesus, the incarnate word, lies in his true and effective word, which transforms the world. After reciting the Marian prayer with the faithful in St. Peter's Square, Francis prayed for war-torn countries, recalling the suffering of the people of Myanmar, especially the most vulnerable, children, the elderly, the sick, refugees, including the Rohingya. He asked everyone to also remember Ukraine, Palestine, Israel, Lebanon, and Sudan. Monday, November 25th. Meeting with professors and staff of the John Paul II Pontifical Theological Institute for Marriage and Family Sciences, Pope Francis upheld the centrality of the family in the Church's life. We know how decisive marriage and family are for the life of peoples. The Church has always cared for them, supported them, and evangelized them. Sadly, he said, there are countries where public authorities, quote, do not respect the dignity and freedom to which every human being has an inalienable right as a child of God. This attitude, he said, results in restrictions that weigh most heavily on women, often confining them to subordinate roles. Rather than erasing the differences between a man and a woman in response, said Francis, the Church teaches that there can be no discrimination between the two, since all belong to Christ and are part of God's plan of salvation. Also Monday, Pope Francis met with a youth delegation from the Universal Peace Council. He appealed to the participants from different religious and cultural backgrounds to place hope, dialogue, and reconciliation at the heart of their work as great artisans of peace. Francis praised the young delegates' commitment to peace in the Holy Land, which, he said, had once more been engulfed in the dark clouds of conflict. Francis emphasized that because of their idealism and creativity, young people can play a key role in the peace process. Also Monday, the Vatican published a note written by Pope Francis to accompany the final document of the Synod on Synodality that began in October 2021 and ended October 2024. He entrusted the document to the Church and calls for creative implementation and a renewed commitment to communion, participation, and mission. Francis described the document as part of the ordinary magisterium of the successor of Peter, and he asked that its authoritative nature be respected as such. It represents a form of exercising the authentic teaching of the Bishop of Rome. Noting that the synodal journey began at the local level and then moved through national and continental phases, he said it now returns to the local churches, and he invited them to implement the contents of the document with discernment, creativity, and respect for their unique context. Again Monday, greeting representatives of the Italian Motorcycle Federation, Pope Francis reflected on the importance of raising the level of awareness among the new generations to abide by safety rules when driving. He called this an investment for their well-being and others. At stake, said Francis, are the lives of so many young people who admire the champions of motorcycling but are often unaware of the dangers in driving. Also Monday, the Holy Father welcomed an international delegation of Jains to the Vatican. That's J-A-I-N-S. Their meeting is part of the decades-old growing dialogue between Jains and Christians promoted by the Vatican's Dicastery for Interreligious Dialogue, working together on ways to build a better future for our world. Francis asked for prayers for the head of that Dicastery for Interreligious Dialogue, Cardinal Ayuso, who was critically ill but later died that very same day. Also Monday, on November 29, 1984, Chile and Argentina signed a landmark Treaty of Peace and Friendship, ending a long-standing border dispute over the Beagle Channel, which had escalated to the brink of armed conflict in 1978. The treaty, which helped stabilize relations in the South American continent, was facilitated by the Holy See, with Pope St. John Paul playing a crucial role in mediating the conflict. The signing of the historic agreement was commemorated at a ceremony in the Vatican, organized by the embassies of Chile and Argentina to the Holy See, with cardinals and the members of the diplomatic corps in attendance. Addressing the ceremony for the 40th anniversary of the treaty, the Argentinian Pope said the landmark agreement can serve as a model to solve today's wars. Again, Monday, November 25th, the Vatican released the schedule for Pope Francis's liturgies during the Christmas season, which will see him open the Jubilee Holy Doors at St. Peter's Basilica and at Rome's Rebibbia Prison. The Jubilee year will open with Mass in St. Peter's Basilica on Christmas Eve, with the opening of the Holy Door of the Basilica. On Christmas Day, the Pope will deliver his traditional Urbi and Orbi address and blessing to the city and the world. On December 26th, the Feast of St. Stephen, the Holy Father will preside at Mass in Rome's Rebibbia Prison to open the only holy door not in a papal basilica. New Year's Eve, we'll see the Pope pray First Vespers and the Te Deum in St. Peter's Basilica at the close of 2024. January 1st, he will preside at Mass to mark the 58th World Day of Peace. On January 6th, Pope Francis will preside at Mass in St. Peter's Basilica on the Solemnity of the Epiphany. He wraps up the Christmas season with Mass in the Sistine Chapel on January 12th for the Baptism of the Lord, conferring baptism on several children of Vatican employees. And now we move to Wednesday, November 27th. What a fascinating and colorful morning at the General Audience, where the catechesis focused on the gift of spiritual joy, one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Scores of adolescents from a school in Paris brought joy to the Pope as they sat in front of him on the stage, chatting happily for several moments and then listening in hushed tones as the Pope gave the catechesis. Before today's General Audience in St. Peter's Square, the Holy Father welcomed U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken, his wife, and family members. Blinken is in Italy for the G7 Foreign Ministers meeting. The really big news of the day, however, came at the very end of the audience when the Pope announced that starting next week, summaries of the weekly catechesis and language offerings will also be offered in Chinese. Chinese thus becomes the second non-European language to be used at weekly papal gatherings. Arabic was introduced in October 2012. Well, just a few days of news this week, but wow, so many stories. Now, however, stay tuned for my special on Thanksgiving, my thoughts on how I am thankful for God's multitude of blessings in my life, and a very special reflection by Pope Francis on the meaning of Thanksgiving.
Mother Angelica had a simple goal when she began EWTN: to reach the world with the gospel message. EWTN is the most trusted source of authentically Catholic content on the air today, featuring Mother Angelica, Teresa Tomeo, and Father Mitch Pacwa. We've never wavered from our mandate to proclaim the truth and majesty of the Catholic faith. Thank you for joining EWTN in this mission.
Wherever you are in the world, you can access the EWTN Global Catholic Network. It's everywhere. You can get EWTN's great Catholic programming on your car radio, at home on your TV, computer, or smart speaker. With EWTN's app, you can take EWTN everywhere, on your phone or mobile device. If you want your news in print, turn to EWTN's paper of record, the National Catholic Register. EWTN, the Global Catholic Network.
Somehow we've got it in our heads that simple or unnoticed work is a waste of time. In the words of Mike Rowe, we've declared war on work. We've created a caste system where everyone from plumbers to garbage men are at the bottom and Hollywood stars are at the top. Maybe that's why so many new parents get depressed. I'm just cleaning poop and cooking dinners now. Simple work. How's that matter? Maybe I don't matter. Ever stop and think that Jesus spent most of his life doing manual labor? The God of the universe spent most of his life as a small town carpenter. Look, we can get by without the rich and famous, but without people to remove our trash, raise our food, and change the diapers, the gears of human history would come to a grinding halt. I think maybe our vision of what matters is off, and we've become less happy as people and less stable as a society because of it. That quiet, often unnoticed work you do every day, it matters a lot, and so do you. This is Chris Stefanik from RealLifeCatholic.com on EWTN Radio.
How should we pray? The disciples asked our Lord that question, and he gave them the Our Father, or the Lord's Prayer. But he also gave them the liturgy, which is the most privileged form of prayer in the Catholic tradition, especially the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. We can pray with the whole church in the liturgy of the hours, or the Divine Office, and we should also pray in our own private room, our secret chamber, as Jesus says, and then our Father who sees us in secret will reward us.
Welcome back to Vatican Insider. Here's Joan Lewis.
Welcome to Vatican Insider on this Thanksgiving weekend, 2024. Instead of a guest interview this week, I offer a two-pronged special on Thanksgiving. My own thoughts on how I'm thankful for God's multitude of blessings in my life, and then a very special reflection by Pope Francis on the meaning of Thanksgiving. What am I especially grateful for this year? Where do I start? In first place is my blood family, of course. My sister and sister-in-law, 9 nieces and nephews, 28 great-nieces and nephews, from a toddler to 20-something. With them, or separated by an ocean, they're always the first to bring a smile to my face. The first with whom I share stories and feelings and memories and laughs. At times, tsunamis of laughter. So good for our well-being. And oh, those special hugs. Not to mention wonderful family-like bonds created over the decades with so many people in Rome. People who know me well, with whom I share joys and sorrows, friends who are always there for me, and I'm there for them. The warmth and love, the caring and sharing. A couple of years ago, I wrote a reflection on gratitude, on being thankful. Dear Lord, how have you blessed me? Let me count the ways. My wonderful family, my beautiful faith, my ocean of friends, the friends throughout your great universe whom you have brought into my life. Does a day pass that you do not bring some unique new person into my life? The newest member of my wonderful large family? A friend from another country? Another wonderful seminarian or priest added to the many who have made my life and faith so fulfilling? The list is so very long. Does a day pass that I'm not enriched and blessed by some amazing event that you have placed on my path as a learning moment, a time of prayer, a period of silent thanksgiving? You blessed me at my baptism when you brought me into your beautiful Catholic Church and a faith to which I have always tried to be faithful. You have blessed me by enriching that faith over the years, allowing me to work for you every day, to bring your word, your teachings, and your truth to so many. My words, by comparison, are very insignificant, but truly heartfelt. I am filled with both thanksgiving and joy as I write these words, as my mind's eye overflows with images of each family member, of friends here in Rome and around the globe, of the magnificent events that daily fill my life. I sign most emails and letters with God bless, and then under that on another line, Joan. But I read it silently as God bless Joan. And you have blessed me, heartfelt thanks. And thank you, God, for the beauty of the earth. For the beauty of the earth, the beauty of the skies. For the love which from our birth over and around us lies. Lord of all, to thee we raise this our grateful hymn of praise. For the beauty of each hour, of the day and of the night, hill and vale, tree and flower, sun and moon and stars of light. Lord of all, to thee we raise this our grateful hymn of praise. For the joy of human love, brother, sister, parent, child, friends on earth and friends above, pleasures pure and undefiled. Lord of all, to thee we raise this our grateful hymn of praise. That, of course, is part of a Christian hymn composed by Folliot Pierpont. And now to Pope Francis. On December 30th, 2020, Pope Francis delivered his final general audience address of 2020 in the library of the Apostolic Palace. He was there because the weekly event had been held since the previous October in the palace because of rising coronavirus cases in Italy. That audience catechesis focused on Thanksgiving. I hope you enjoy it. Dear brothers and sisters, good morning. Today, I would like to focus on the prayer of Thanksgiving. And I take my cue from an episode recounted by the evangelist Luke. While Jesus was on the way, 10 lepers approached him who begged him, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." We know that those who had leprosy suffered not only physically, but also from social marginalization and religious marginalization. They were marginalized. Jesus did not back off from meeting them. In fact, sometimes he surpassed the limitations imposed by the law, and he touched, embraced, and healed the sick person. Now, this was not supposed to be done. In this case, however, there was no contact. But from a distance, Jesus invited them to present themselves to the priests, who were designated by law to certify healings that had occurred. Jesus said nothing else. He heard their prayer. He heard their cry for mercy, and he sent them immediately to the priests. Those 10 lepers trusted. They did not remain until they were cured. No, they trusted, and they went immediately. And while they were on their way, they were all cured, all 10 of them. The priests would have therefore been able to verify their healing and readmit them to normal life. But this is where the important point enters in. Only one in the group, before going to the priests, returned to thank Jesus and to praise God for the grace received. Only one. The other 9 continued on their way. And Jesus points out that man was a Samaritan, a sort of heretic for the Jews of that time. Jesus comments, "Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" This narrative, continued Pope Francis, divides the world in two, those who do not give thanks and those who do, those who take everything as if it was owed them, and those who welcome everything as a gift, as grace. The Catechism says, quote, "Every event and need can become an offering of thanksgiving," and that's number 2638. The prayer of thanksgiving always begins here, to recognize that grace precedes us. We were thought of before we learned how to think. We were loved before we learned how to love. We were desired before our hearts conceived a desire. If we view life like this, then thank you becomes the driving force of our day. And every so often we even forget to say thank you. For us Christians, continued Pope Francis, thanksgiving was the name given to the most essential sacrament there is, the Eucharist. In fact, the Greek word means precisely this, thanksgiving. Eucharist, thanksgiving. Christians, as all believers, bless God for the gift of life. To live is above all to have received life. All of us are born because someone wanted us to have life. And this is only the first of a long series of debts that we incur by living. Debts of gratitude. During our lives, more than one person has gazed on us with pure eyes, gratuitously. Often these people are educators, catechists, persons who carried out their roles above and beyond what was required of them. And they caused us to be grateful. Even friendship is a gift for which we should always be grateful. This thank you that we must say continually, said Pope Francis, this thanks that Christians share with everyone grows in meeting Jesus. The Gospels attest that when Jesus passed by, he often provoked joy and praise to God in those whom he met. The Gospel accounts are filled with prayerful people who are greatly touched by the coming of the Savior. And we too are called to participate in this immense jubilation. The episode of the 10 lepers who are healed also suggests this. Naturally, all of them were happy for having recovered their health, allowing them to end that unending forced quarantine that excluded them from the community. But among them, there was one who experienced an additional joy. In addition to being healed, he rejoices at meeting Jesus. He is not only freed from evil, but he now possesses the certainty of being loved. This is the crux. When you thank someone, you express the certainty that you are loved. And this is a huge step, to have the certainty that you are loved. It is the discovery of love as the force that governs the world. As Dante said, the love that moves the sun and other stars. We are no longer vagabonds wandering aimlessly here and there, no. We have a home. We dwell in Christ, and from that dwelling we contemplate the rest of the world, which appears infinitely more beautiful to us. We are children of love. We are brothers and sisters of love. We are men and women who thank. Therefore, brothers and sisters, let us seek to remain always in the joy of encountering Jesus. Let us cultivate joyfulness. The devil, instead, after having deluded us with whatever temptation, always leaves us sad and alone. If we are in Christ, there is no sin, and no threat that can ever prevent us from continuing joyfully on our way, together with many other companions on the road. Above all, let us not forget to thank. If we are bearers of gratitude, the world itself will become better, even if only a little bit, but that's enough to transmit a bit of hope. The world needs hope. And with gratitude, with this habit of saying thank you, we transmit a bit of hope. Everything is united and everything is connected, and everyone needs to do his or her part, wherever we are. The path to happiness is the one St. Paul described at the end of one of his letters. Quote, pray constantly, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit, end quote. Do not quench the Spirit, ended Pope Francis. What a beautiful project of life. Do not quench the Spirit that we have within us that leads us to gratitude.
For more information on these stories, or to check out Joan's blog and to ask her a question, go to EWTN.com. That's EWTN.com. Thanks for listening to Vatican Insider on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
This is a Messy Family Minute with Mike and Alicia Hernan. 3 years ago, we became grandparents, and it's just as wonderful as everyone told us it would be. We are blessed to have the love of 5 grandchildren, and we look forward to many more.
Grandparents are a blessing to children because they have a different perspective on life in general. We can usually see the problems that toddlers or teenagers have with different eyes than their parents. We have more time to pray for them and more time to serve. Our very lives dedicated to God and to our vocation is a witness to the joy of living the gospel. But what is the role of a grandparent in the life of a grandchild?
The best thing a grandparent can do is boldly love. Love your grandchildren deeply, and by doing so, you will be an image of God's love for them. Love your adult children by supporting them, even if they choose to raise their children differently than you raise them. Parents are the most powerful influence in the life of a child, and you, as a grandparent, need to build up that relationship between your child and your grandchild. For more inspiration and encouragement, visit us at messyfamilyminute.org.